you know, I had to put a new new line on it and all, you know, to, eventually wore itself out after years and years between the sun and, I guess, the squirrels biting things. But, you know, I have it, you know, one side of it anyway, I have it tied to a tree. I don't like to damage the trees. I get these big oak trees here. So I put a rope all around, completely around the oak tree. And then I make up my own brace for it. And, you know, the rope holds the brace. And then I actually make up my own belaying pin, you know, like you would see on a ship. I use that, and I tie the line off to that. But so I try to protect the trees as well. Back to you, Jeff.
That makes me grin. I agree. I was once accused by somebody of being the only I was the only Republican that they knew that was a tree hugger. My response was, I'm not a Republican. They're too liberal for me. But trees are life. I think anybody that cuts down trees and wants to talk about global warming and hasn't planted a tree should shut up forever. Plant a tree. Great green monsters that eat CO2.
Yeah. I have a bunch of them here. I used to have a lot more, but you know, a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. Naturally, you got to pick up leaves every year, and the roots start, you know, growing all over. People tripping on roots, and acorns all over. A million acorns you got to get rid of. Sometimes it's too much shade, creates tons of moss, all kinds of problems. Growers go up there, jump on a roof, and once they're on a roof, they want to get into the house. I think the trees are going to win sooner or later. I managed to, you know, cut back some of them. I don't want to take too many down. I need them for dipoles. Back to you, Jim.
Yeah, I need them for dipoles, too. They're useful. But sometimes they got to go. They've outlived their thing. But if I cut down one, I'll try to put up two. They are magnificent creatures. Underappreciated by many folks.
K2SCP.
Yeah, Chris, you got it.
You guys will appreciate this. Or maybe you won't. I heat my house mostly with wood in the winter. I have a EPA wood stove. So I tend to get a lot of dead wood and cut it up and throw it in my back of my truck if I see it on the side of the road or something. So I have a big sticker on the back window of the truck. It's a picture of a chainsaw, and it says under it, "Don't worry, I hugged it first."
Oh, I love it. I love it. When you clear out the underbrush, I learned that in South Dakota. They clear out the underbrush so it doesn't create a tremendous fire load, and they burn it when everything's frozen, and I assume everybody takes it for fuel too, but the stuff that's laying around, they throw in a pile, and when it's, you know, minus 70 and everything's wet, and they burn it, and they get rid of all that fuel that's going to kill living trees. Trees are amazing creatures. They breathe out what we breathe in.
Yeah, they sure are, and I could hear your comment that with the moss, I never heard that before. But it's just, that whole thing is fascinating, how the heck trees get the water up and the nutrients and everything from the ground all the way up the trees, and some kind of osmosis or osmosis pressure or whatever. I remember those discussions. But I did not know redwoods do that. I got to look that up. That's interesting. And I had been to redwood forest or whatever in California. As a little kid, I have a picture of me standing inside of one of those, and of course, I was like 2 foot high, and the tree was like 40 foot round or something. But those things are unreal, crazy stuff. All right, I got to take off. 7-3, you guys. Thanks. K2SDP, Chris.
73, Chris. Have a good night. And we'll catch you hopefully next week. And same with you, Jim. I'm going to sign as well. Nice to talk from both of you guys. Back to you, Jim. What's the KD2VHDWS?
Very good. Good talking to you folks also. Yeah, the moth thing is remarkable. It's a symbiosis that the redwoods would not be what we know them to be without that. They couldn't grow to those heights. And when you learn about it, it's as much enigma as an amazing thing, because alone, the tree could not do that. But with this other creature that works in a totally different way, doing a totally different thing, together they can do far more than they can do individually. There's a lot to learn from that. Lots to learn. So, gentlemen, a great night. KD2VHD, I'll be clear.
Very good. They figured out how to live like about 1,000 years or so, whatever it is. They got a speed. They must know what they're doing. 73, WS2N clear.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 1:55 a.m. Temperature 74 degrees.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Limark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 5:01 a.m. Mostly cloudy. Temperature 73 degrees.
W2VL repeater.
Alpha Echo.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 6 a.m. Cloudy. Temperature 72 degrees.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 7 a.m. Hartley, sunny, temperature 73 degrees.
W2VL repeater.
KC2JRQ.
W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 7:55 a.m. Mostly sunny. Temperature 72 degrees.
W2VL repeater.
WB2DOC.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. Thank you.
Listen. WB2ZSE talking. Hello.
Good morning, Steve. How are you today?
Oh, just a peachy.
I am pleased to hear that. And as a matter of fact, that reminds me. I did buy some peaches. I should use them up.
That wouldn't be a bad thing. Better than letting them go and spoil.
Absolutely true. So, in any event, let's see. I have an interesting story to tell you. It appears I am going to Australia for half an hour.
Okay, it appears what? You're going where?
I am supposed to spend half an hour, 30 minutes, in Australia.
Okay, well, where's you in all that counts?
I have been invited to attend a, relatively low-key professional conference, but you can relax. It's going to be on, my participation will be on Zoom. So it doesn't involve, you know, hours and hours and hours on airplanes.
Yeah, I kind of had that part figured out. On.
I hope I'm making it better than you are, Steve, because that was barely copyable.
It's in Australia. Yeah, well, I'm still in a rented car, so I'm using a portable edge. But, yeah, you sound much better than me. I can tell you that right now.
Now, you gave me a rather lengthy answer to my previous transmission, and I heard none of it. You seem to be better now. You want to try a Reader's Digest condensed version?
Yeah, I figured it out when you had said you were going there for 30 minutes.
If there's somebody else trying to make it in, you're just not making it. All right, Steve. Yeah, I kind of threw that hint out there. I kind of figured you wouldn't ignore it. But no, I am looking forward to it. My brother lives in Australia, and he's giving a presentation, and he thought for about half an hour of it would be perfect if you would bring me in as a guest lecturer. And the timing actually works out right. It's midday on a Tuesday, but it turns out it's like 10 p.m. here. It's 10 p.m. the previous evening here, but I can do that.
Yeah, I got you. I got to put the radio down because I got to pay attention to where I'm going at. Give me a minute.
Fine, but I have to warn you, I'll be where I'm going in about 2 minutes. WB2EV.
And Barry, you sound good.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Temperature 77 degrees.
November 2, Victor Hotel, Zulu Mobile. November 2, Victor Hotel, Zulu Mobile.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
is N2ZUC, will be listening.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
KD2REK, KD2AKS.
About you. Isn't that strange how that works? I'm riding along Merrick Road on the South Shore, so you know that I'm going to be somewhat noisy. This is not prime repeater area. I'm on my way to a medical facility near South Nassau. A friend who just had some Mohs surgery on her leg. So, maybe 5 to 8 minutes away. But I did hear your call and wanted to say hello.
All right, thank you for brightening up my day a little bit. Talk about medical facilities. I had to run my wife over to a big building over near LIJ to talk to somebody. She was planning on having knee surgery, and that was put on hold by her cardiologist, who said, "You've got a leaky valve, and I don't want you to have the operation right now."
Leaky valve, not that unusual. It looks like I'm at the building just about now. Let me see. Nassau. Yeah, I'm here. This is a quick one. So, hope everything works out with EXYL. Mine had a hip replacement in April. And a week later, fell and broke her arm. So, she's working on her issues as well. Anyway, I got to say 7-3, I'm here. Catch you again. W2OSR, W2QZ.
All right, Al. Take care. 7-3, W2OSR.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
No, Gary. K2UTF, WB2IKT. Nice humid day.
Yeah, temperature isn't too bad, though. And where I am, there's a breeze, so all in all, I'll take it.
Yeah, it seems nice out. Okay. Very good. Just, heading over a library to return a book, which is due, and I want to do that before it's overdue. So, I'll be just on time.
What book was it?
Well, it was a book. Well, roughly I'd say it was an aviation theme, but kind of interesting. It was about Eastern Airlines Flight 401 that took off from New York City and was supposed to get to Miami. But it got close, circled the airport, and due to a whole bunch of stupid reasons, ended up crashing in the Everglades and killed a lot of people, but quite a few survived. And the book is about that and its aftermath, which was pretty interesting, and I'm not quite sure if to take it seriously or not. It's one of those things that has you on the edge.
Seems to recall that. What year was that?
It occurred in the 70s when the Lockheed TriStar L-1011 was a brand new airplane.
Remember that. The detail about the Everglades brings it back. So was it well written, or was it partly questionable, or what's your summary?
Well, I'm not sure if I'd say it was fact or fiction. In any event, after the crash, which apparently was not as terrible a crash as most, a lot of the equipment on the plane was actually salvageable, and Eastern Airlines decided to take the equipment that was still in good condition and install it on other planes as the ones on the other planes wore out. And that led to some very interesting issues, apparently.
Ethical or mechanical?
I would say metaphysical.
Some of this is returning to me now. Coffee pots that can talk or something like that.
Yeah, well, apparently the equipment that survived was what I would call galley equipment, you know. And one of the pieces in question was a microwave oven, which was brand new at the time. And apparently they put it in another plane, and it worked fine. And the crew member on the other plane, who I might add knew the people on the plane that had crashed, was going to the galley. And as they were going to the galley, she saw her friend from the flight that had crashed, and this person did not survive the crash, saw that person standing there and said, "Don't worry, you'll be all right." Then she turned around and that person was gone. And apparently this happened to quite a few people over many planes in about a year of time since the equipment was put back into service on other aircraft.
Well, it kind of challenges your belief system, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the question is that really plausible? And I guess that's why I was saying is, you know, I'm not sure if it's fact or fiction. But it's an interesting read, to say the least. And the end of it, when this stuff starts to happening, is a real hooker. And it turns out is that what ended up happening is that Eastern Airlines decided to remove all the equipment that had been salvaged from the flight that crashed and just put different equipment in the planes, and the incidents stopped. But Eastern never admitted that anything weird was going on.
Oh, it would have been a good experiment. Say that they removed it, but not do so.
Yeah, like I said, it was a sort of an interesting story. And they made a movie about it. And I think the movie was called The Ghost of Flight 401, but I have not seen it, and I have not really gone out of my way to look it up to see if I could find it online or something.
Well, we have to admit that we're all witness to phenomena, or at least
have been called to consider phenomena or so-called phenomena that don't lend themselves to scientific or empirical explanation.
Yeah, that's true. You know, some things happen that are very difficult to explain. Another area I've been reading about is apparently little children, and I'm thinking toddlers, you know, somewhere between the age where they learn how to talk and before the age of five. So, and these are some kids that clearly seem to remember being somebody else and can talk about what they did when they were somebody else. That's kind of interesting as well.
Well, I don't think that, you know, all your learning is acquired, or let's say all your knowledge is acquired from learning, out of nothing, with experience. I think that maybe some stuff is hardwired into the consciousness, into the brain, whatever, what have you. Now, whether or not it could become that specific where you recall an individual personality that belonged to another organism, that's a little bit of a stretch, but if you go back to ancient metaphysics and panpsychism, as it was known, all these considerations are nothing new.
Yeah, I agree. Every so often you hear about this, and, you know, it's just sort of interesting, and, you know, I'm not sure you can prove anything or disprove it, but, you know, when a three-year-old is able to tell you an unbelievable amount of detail, you know, what they did when they were, you know, driving a car, and they can clearly recall all the details about the car, which, you know, are not at all similar to cars you have today. You just scratch your head and wonder. Anyway, KA2UTF, WB2IKT.
KA2UTF. What I find interesting is the development of language. Similarly, there's a book written by Piaget called The Origins of Intelligence in Children, which is also a very interesting work. But, you know, the development of language. We have encoded in our brains the proclivity for understanding syntax. I think we do.
Yeah, I don't know. I think my wife would actually have a better handle on it than I would, because she spent many years as a preschool teacher, and her favorite classes was that of the two-year-olds, and that's because these kids had no filters. They'd say whatever popped into their heads, and my wife usually appreciated it.
It's really very interesting, the whole area. And I have a very firm memory of being a baby, standing up in my crib and looking at my mother and talking. And what I had in my mind was perfectly clear of what I was saying, but what was coming out of my mouth was babble.
Yeah, that sounds like a baby standing up in the crib. The bad news sometimes still is.
Okay, George, nice touching base with you. My wife is here with the groceries, so we'll sign and catch up later. KATUTF.
Okay, 73, Gary. Have a good day and keep cool. KATUTF, WB2IKK.
W2OSR.
Hello, Bob. Take it away.
Good afternoon. Interesting talk you were having.
Yeah, it all started when my 13-year-old grandson came up to visit, and we were watching a television show, or rerun of it, that was called Air Disasters. And so I saw it on TV, and then I saw a book in the library about it, so I bought the book to be a little bit more in-depth about what happened. And it was, if you've been reading the mail, it's, interesting story that, you know, leaves one wondering whether it was fact or fiction. All I could say is it was vaguely plausible.
Yeah, Yeah. Close enough to things that you know and believe are true that it doesn't go that far away where you can think of reasons why what you're reading could also be true.
Yeah. So, what was interesting there is that the flight crew from Flight 401, which they basically the folks that perished in the Everglades, were reappearing on the planes that had some of the equipment that was salvaged from that crash. And they appeared as phantoms. Well, actually, they appeared to those people as real people who would just, you know, they'd turn around, they would vanish. Very, very interesting. And I'm talking about people that knew each other. It wasn't like this was a stranger and they had to guess where they came from. These were friends, and they knew those people.
Yeah. Someone just drove past me in a 1957 Chevy Corvette.
Well, that's a rarity. Rarity. Maybe it's a refugee from a car show someplace.
It could be. Nice color, too. It's a light blue color. Oh, well. The only thing that I can tell you that I remember that makes that somewhat believable to me what you were just talking about is I had one customer at an account in Queens, New York. And I have no particular reason to think about them at any time. But it would seem when I thought about them, within a half an hour, I would get a call to come fix something.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I know people that would actually happen to. They'd get a premonition about some pretty normal kind of an event. And sure enough, when they said it was going to happen, and all of a sudden it did. I know it happened to my wife a few times. And I think it happened to me once or twice, although I don't remember them very well.
Yeah, understood. Oh, well. I've been playing around doing a little antenna design work. I have something in mind for field day. I'll have to see how it works out.
Yeah, sounds good. Anyway, I've arrived at the library, and it's time for me to deposit this book back with the library that so some other unsuspecting reader can get. A few minutes, 73 for now, and I'll be right back. I'll be at 2OSR, WB2IKK.
Okay, take care, 73, because I'll be home probably by the time you get back, but get that book in the back to the library before they put a lien on your house. Bye-bye.
WB2IKK.
Good afternoon. The time is 1:55 p.m. Mostly cloudy. Temperature 80 degrees.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
WJKX.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
KD2AKX. How about you, Brian?
W2VL repeater.
Bravo 2, Mike, Sierra Bravo Mobile, listening.
This is WA2VFM, listening. A2QT, A2QT, WA2VFM.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. W2VL.
Open that door.
Good afternoon. The time is 4:55 p.m. Mostly sunny. Temperature 83 degrees.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
InfoNet, I can see that was the Flymark InfoNet. How about you, Barry? Locked InfoNet, that's where I'm going to be, Barry. You can count on it.
W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Thank you.